Get home from school, turn on my TV. Who are these friends staring right back at me? Now that we're older, why don't you come over and go back in time with me? 90s babies, nostalgia.
Hi, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jessica.
And this is 90s Babies Nostalgia. We're two fully grown millennial women, and in this case, also one man. Rewatch and sometimes watch for the first time iconic tween entertainment from the early 2000s.
Just to be clear, we are not sponsored by or affiliated with any of the shows we talk about or any of the channels we talk about in this show. We just really love rewatching TV. And today we are talking about That's So Raven. Season three.
Partially. And as I mentioned, we have a guest today. So would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hopefully there's no noise in the background. Look, I can't control my noise, but y'all bear with me. But yes, it's me. I guess I'm gonna do my whole intro. It's me, PR. I am me from the Prime Nostalgia Podcast. And yeah, I decided to come on. I decided to ransack their podcast and talk about Raven because I do like the podcast and I like Raven, so got two pluses.
Yeah. And we are like very, very excited and slightly nervous if our energy seems off to have you on. So this is like really cool for us. It's fun to have other people on, especially people who like are into the nostalgia world as much as we are. So
of course.
Yeah, you're our third guest for recording, but you're our first guest that is also a podcaster, so then that's like the element where we're a little bit nervous. Like, this is someone who actually knows what they're doing more than we know what we're doing.
Yeah. Podcast collaborations, that's what I like.
So we're only gonna talk about three episodes, as you both know, because Raven is freaking long as hell. And just like, we thought it'd be nice to have a shorter episode this time. We don't always need to be 2 freaking hours long.
Yeah. We're trying to vary the times for you guys. We'll see how that works out. But we're making an effort.
So we're going to start.
What counts, by the way.
So. Yeah.
Thanks. We try every time. We fail every time. It's all right. We're gonna start with episode 21, Chef Man and Raven, and we're talking about this just because you said it's a classic. Like,
it is. It's a absolute classic, and even if it's for that one moment that we all know, it's a classic. So yeah, I had to.
I'm prepared to summarize this one, Jess, if you want, because I'm not prepared to summarize Country Cousins.
That's good. You got this, and I can get the Country Cousins. I rewatched Country Cousins last night, so it's, like, really fresh in my brain. So that's perfect.
Okay, so Chef Man and Raven, summary. Victor, a.k.a. Chef Man, is challenged, like, spontaneously to be on TV on a cooking show called Captain Cook-Off's Kitchen Challenge against Leonard Stevenson, a.k.a. Captain Cook-Off, his, like, chef school rival. And Raven and Chelsea and Eddie are like super into the show and excited, so Raven goes on with Victor and they're cooking, and she knows and Victor knows, like, even without her having a vision, that they're gonna cook trout, is it, because that's like his dish that he couldn't do when he was in cooking school. And they're cooking it, but they leave out mushrooms because we find out.
Oh, it's not trout. It's not trout. It's stuffed mackerel.
Okay, I knew it was a fish. Thank you.
Yeah.
Because I remember it was something random. We find out they're not including mushrooms in their recipe because Raven's allergic. And then Leonard's daughter, Julie, a.k.a. Gourmet Girl, like, slyly throws mushrooms into their dish that Raven then tastes. And she starts, like, swelling up with these monster prosthetics all over her fingers and her face. And she's just, like, ballooning. And she's like, no, I'm going to get through this competition anyway, Dad. And they do end up winning, even though she's, like, Raven lost, but That's pretty much the plot, the main plot.
Yeah.
Pretty much you nailed it. So yeah, that's good.
The B plot is Corey's wearing baggy pants and Tanya made him a desk and he doesn't really like it, and they're trying to get it up into his room, and they get stuck on the stairs because his pants fall around his ankles, and then in the end she realizes he never liked the desk, and they throw it over the banister into the living room. It's like the odds that all of that space in the living room was empty, that you could just throw a desk into it.
In a San Francisco. Like, it's not a home. It's like a townhome apartment. Like, in San Francisco, like, no, you do not have that much room. Those houses are narrow.
Yeah. And you, like, put things on the walls and up again. Like, that was just ridiculous to me. But also, like, the baggy pants were a real trend, and it was not it, but it was a moment, like.
I think it's coming back in style.
All right. I don't want to.
But. That aside, the main plot.
Yeah.
This episode, even though you said it was not iconic, I agree with Prime. I think it's iconic. I remember it so well, especially the moment. I just feel like whoever did the, like, prosthetics actually did them pretty good, because, like, the fish looks fake as fuck, but Raven's, like, super swollen face and hands looks pretty good.
Leonard comes back, too.
He does?
Yeah, he comes back in, he opens a rival restaurant called the Hill Grill.
Oh, interesting.
We're not.
I remember that episode. I do remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That might be, is that season four, maybe?
No, it's season three. It's like the end of it, I think.
Okay.
There's like 35 episodes in this monster season.
I also have to say, I feel like this is not how culinary school is. Not that I ever went to culinary school, but part of my degree, I did take culinary classes. And like, you have cooking tests, like it's a culinary class. But like, you're not going one-on-one and like flipping fish in the air. Like, that doesn't happen.
You mean
happen.
You don't throw eggs into a pan for style points?
No, there's no such thing as style points.
I forgot about that.
It's like, and it just to me felt like style points were how you won the competition show. And I'm like, are we not caring how the food tastes? Like, just how cool you look cooking it? Is that all that matters?
Yes, because they definitely did not taste any of the food. They just said, oh, you got more flips, you win. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's the point of making the food? Like, it's just, I have a lot of questions. I don't know. It's just questions.
Yeah. What's the point of the food? Also, we never see the judges.
Do we not?
I don't remember ever seeing the judges.
There's a host.
There's a host.
Lorraine something.
Mm-hmm. But we never... Yeah, there's a host because Eddie has a crush on the host.
Oh, of course he does.
Yeah.
He says something in the, like, the first 30 seconds, like, something like, I want to, like, somebody, the show is whack, but the host is, like, my favorite, something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just an Eddie comment.
Yeah, it's a very Eddie comment. Yeah, and he just kind of slides it in there.
Yeah.
Do we have any more thoughts? Do you have any more questions?
I did. I kind of took notes, and my first two notes are questions. One, I said, is this legal to just come into somebody's house with a camera in their face?
Right.
And to say, yeah, just say, you, we're challenging you. Like, I know some people do it, but they don't do it live. So, like, if they decline, it'll be nice. But just to...
Because you have to sign paperwork.
Yeah, I didn't sign nothing. Like, okay.
And yeah, because they're watching it and it's on TV, and Raven's like, "That's our house."
My second question was, how does this? How is this 2005, six? How does this work where he can hear him? The dude had a camera on his side. It is not that good technology to where he's that, you know, in sync. It would have took like 5 minutes for the delay or something. Like, I don't know.
Well, especially because then it's not only the hearing part, but the fact that this is then like live broadcasting to live TV.
There should be a delay. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of a delay.
Yeah.
It's not like it's the Super Bowl. Like, they don't have the biggest budget.
No, it's like a dinky little TV, like cooking TV show.
It's Food Network. I was thinking by chop points, you leave out an ingredient, you're getting docked points. Like, you can't win if you leave out the mushrooms just because she's allergic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they didn't taste it, so why does it matter anyway?
I know. Yeah.
It's very fair. I also think this is the same time that, like, Bobby Flay's Throwdown was, like, very, very popular. And it's essentially the same concept, right? Is that other chefs are coming in and competing against Bobby Flay. So I really think that this was just, like, they took the concept from that show because it was very popular at that time.
Do you get style points in that?
Fuck no. Style points are made up. That shit was from the writer's room. There's no style points.
No. So you mean to tell me one of Raven's favorite shows is her watching people cook for style points, right?
Uh-huh.
Because they're all watching it. Is that what we're supposed to believe? That Raven is wasting her time watching this?
But they watch a lot of TV shows. Like, there's quite a few moments where you see the three of them watch TV together. So I do believe that that's something that they like to do as a trio. But, like, your dad's... I don't know. It just seems weird. she should be, like, up in her room sewing an outfit or something. Like,
yeah, something. Something.
Or it should have been Victor's favorite show. Like,
yeah.
Except he hates Leonard Stevenson. If they had been watching it that much, wouldn't they know that he hates Leonard Stevenson?
Yeah, because they didn't know. But also, like, maybe it's just something that, like, Victor keeps to himself.
Yeah. Like that wig. And throwback. And,
yeah. The curly.
I know it's a comedy show, but they always give him the goofiest looking hair when they do a throwback. Mm-hmm. Then in the episode where they had the parents meet and they did like Motown night, where they were supposed to go to Motown night, then he had like a big afro. It was like it just always had the most goofiest hair.
And it's never the same. Like, they don't keep it consistent. Never.
There's a whole episode where he rents hair.
Oh, really? Are we watching that?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I want to watch that one. He rents hair, like, goes to a wig shop?
Corey sees an infomercial where you can rent hair, and he thinks that Victor would have a lot more confidence or something if he did it. So he does, and then he, like, wants to be friends with Corey all the time, and Corey gets mad and, like, throws out his hair.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And it's also very ugly hair.
They don't give him any good hair. He's just better off bald.
Yes. I believe that's... he probably has been bald when they quote-unquote said he had these hairstyles. He was probably bald then.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, because he's not... I think in the show, I think we estimated him at, like, mid-40s. And most men that are bald by that age are bald in their 20s.
Yeah. I mean... if you want to go with him in real life, he was in a show in the 90s and he was bald in that show. So,
oh, he was. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Any more thoughts on Chef Man and Raven?
Yeah, I have two-ish.
Okay.
Because one, I like the scene, and I'm sorry if y'all hear my dog, but I like the scene of their name calling back and forth. And he's like, what do you call them? Butterfingers and something else. And then Raven's like, yeah, I bet you had some names. Tell him, Dad. He was like, Mr. Successful.
Yeah.
Something like that. I was like, that's the writers do a good job. Writers do really good with stuff like that. And then my last note, I have the reveal in all caps. Is the reveal of her cheeks. No, not the reveal, but the extra reveal when she goes to the TV and she looks and then screams. That I feel like is played on every that sort of been marathon commercial or whatever in history. But that's just me.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it's a totally iconic moment. Also, like, she didn't take Benadryl or anything. I'm just nervous on, like, how are we fighting this allergic reaction?
And she said she'll be okay in 5 minutes.
That's just not how allergic reactions work.
It's really fun, though, how it's, like, her finger, and then it slowly, like, progresses, and then you get that big, like, cheek reveal.
Yeah.
It builds well.
And it looks, like, clearly it's fake, but it looks, I don't know, the way they
it does not look realistic.
I know it doesn't look realistic, but it just, like, I don't know, the way they did it for comedic effect, I really appreciate. Because it's, like, so, I don't even, this is a podcast, and I'm using my hands to describe it because I don't have words. It's just so extra.
Mm-hmm. There's also a good line on the more serious note that Victor says, the only way we're going to lose is if we don't try, which I thought was cute.
But then they make fun of him. And they bring it up again. They said, what idiot says that? And then she said, you. So,
yeah. That's true.
That is true, yeah.
Okay. Kay. Are we ready?
I don't know. Are we ready?
Oh, my God.
I think we are.
Okay. So, we're going to combine these and just talk about them as a whole. We're talking about Country Cousins, Part 1 and Part 2, which is episodes 27 and 28.
And they did come out as an hour-long special.
Yep, that's what I was just going to say, 1 hour-long special. What's your fun fact? Most
Mine? Do you know I have a fun fact? Are you talking to me?
No. I mean,
I was going to say a fun fact, but sure, go ahead.
No, say your fun fact. I was talking to Amanda, but if you have a fun fact.
She might say my fun fact, so that's what I was going to say.
Do I have a fun fact? Did I tell you I had a fun fact?
Most watched.
Okay. I didn't know that was my fun fact.
That's what I was going to say. So.
Okay, we'll let Prime say it. I'll just say it. It's the most watched what? Since until High School Musical?
Okay, so you're going to say it.
No one else is saying it. I'm taking the lead.
It aired on July 29th, 2005, broke Disney Channel records by scoring 10.8 million viewers, the highest broadcast on the network until High School Musical 2. Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's still in the top three. And actually, it's probably the top four TV show because High School Musical is a movie. So it's probably still the top four show. It's up there. It's up there.
Yeah. So, I'm going to get started with plot. Or you have something else fun to say, Amanda?
Just that, like, around the time when this was huge and season 3 is when That's So Raven was officially called the network's highest rated series.
Yep. Yeah, this was at, like, peak That's So Raven.
Also, if you want to think about it, like, High School Musical 2 is the one to beat it out in records this view. Which means High School Musical and the Hannah Montana premiere did not get more views than this, which is kind of big because I feel like that was a big moment on the channel.
Yeah. Also, That's So Sweet Life of Hannah Montana didn't get as many views. That's also surprising to me.
Now, I'm gonna save my comments.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, summarize, and then we'll get into it.
Yeah. So. They're all at home going through, the Baxter family's going through boxes and getting rid of stuff, and Raven finds old photos of her with her cousin Betty Jane. And she asks her parents, like, why aren't we friends with her anymore? We used to be so close, we used to go to their farm all the time. And Tanya and Victor are kind of like, oh, we don't know, we just drifted apart, like, we haven't talked to them in years. And so then Raven writes a letter and is like, I want to come out to the farm. Blah, blah, blah. So then her and Chelsea go to the farm. Well, I guess I'll start with, it is clear that there is some like family tension between these two families, but you don't know what it is. Tanya and Victor are completely unaware, but this family like really, really, really is holding a grudge against Raven and her parents. So Chelsea joins Raven at the farm. They're like milking cows. Raven wears a ridiculous outfit. They sit down for dinner and Raven asks for gravy for her mashed potatoes. And the whole family flips out. They're like, you do not say that word in this household.
The G word.
And so then they find out that this whole family feud is over an antique gravy boat that went missing the last time the Baxter family was in town. And it was like their great-great-grandpappy's gravy boat. So Raven and Chelsea are like getting ready to leave. There's this creepy scarecrow that's haunting them, but really it's Betty Jane controlling the scarecrow. We can get into that after. It's weird. They're like getting ready to leave, and then Raven has a vision that the gravy boat is found, and she's like, no, we need to stick around until we find this. And so her and Betty Jane are like reliving the past and talking about things they used to do. And they used to go and bury things in the backyard. And so they go out to the backyard and start digging up like all the treasures that they buried as children. And they find the gravy boat. Also important to note is that Raven plays 4 characters in this 1 hour special. Yes. She plays herself. Mm-hmm. She plays Auntie Faye, Cousin Delroy, and Baby G.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I just was realizing as you were summarizing, what is Baby G's name? Do we know? Because I'm like, I'm inclined to think that the G stands for gravy. Like...
It could be spelled gravy and it could be like gravy or something, something crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, it's giving, you know, some Tyler Perry, Eddie Murphy kind of comedy vibes, the way that she's playing everyone in this family except for Kim Whitley plays Cousin Vicky, who's like her mom's age, and Giovanni Samuels plays Betty Jane, her cousin. Kim Whitley's been in a lot of things. She's like been in Young and Hungry. She was a regular. She's a guest star in a lot of things. Giovanni Samuels was Nia Mosby in The Suite Life, and she was an All That cast member. She's in Bring It On, All or Nothing, and Prime. You know her. So.
Oh yeah, she's also one of my sisters. So yes, she's yes.
Yeah. Which is
yes. She's very cool. She always talks about this episode. So yes, it's a good moment for her. But you know, it's a lot. It's a lot of people that talks about this episode and her specifically in this episode as Betty Jane. So yeah, it's like a transformation because watching this is not obviously she's an actress, but like watching this is completely different. It's totally different. So I had to like take myself out of it for a second to process what was going on.
To like separate who she is from the character.
Yeah, because she's more in real life, probably like Tanya.
Oh, interesting.
She's more like Tanya in real life. And then for her to be like Betty Jane, it was so weird to see. So.
Yeah.
I digress. But yeah.
I thought they all did a really great job.
Yeah.
I don't know if Baby G needed to be a character.
I think I don't even know if this exists. I know there's like some behind the scene footage somewhere of them making this episode, and it's like they built a bigger, they built a huge set just for her to be little.
Oh.
So yeah, they did two sets of the same thing, and it's just, is it a waste of money?
Yes.
Depending on how you look at it, because Baby G was only in like, what, two scenes?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, no, but hey. It is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
It worked out. It worked out in the end. Very good.
Well, and if you read stuff too, like Chelsea and Raven Simone, well, Annalise Vanderpool and Raven Simone both say that this was one of their favorite episodes to film, like in interviews and stuff. They both speak really, really, really highly of this episode and how much fun it was to film. And Raven has mentioned like how challenging it was because she had to play four characters, but that she really enjoyed the process. And I think that comes across, but it is very zany.
It's ridiculous. Baby G is only in there to be a menace.
Yeah. Throw shit at people.
Isn't that what babies do, though? I mean, they got it right on the head, I feel like, right?
Well, baby, have you been around that, like, chuck something at you?
Babies do that, but they don't do it. They don't know they're doing it like that. Like, Baby G has the medicine in her eye.
Yeah.
Baby G is probably like, my mama told me about that gravy, and then just threw it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was, I don't know. Maybe. Well, I don't know. It's just, it's weird, but it's funny because it's like, she's the only... Everybody else holds a grudge, but she's the only one that's like aggressive about just whatever she wants to be. It is hilarious.
Yeah, and I would say Aunt Faye is the only one who, like, I'd say she's still holding the grudge, but she's the only one who's like willing to move past it. Where everyone else, including Betty Jane, is like very wary of like inviting Raven and Chelsea over to the farm to the point that like they didn't want to.
Well, can I? They didn't invite them. Raven sees this photo and she's like, oh, I used to hang out with Betty Jane all the time. What happened? And Victor's like, I don't know. They just, like, we used to see them all the time and then it just stopped. And then Raven has the audacity to just show up and think that she can fix the family feud.
Not true. She writes a letter asking if she can come to the farm. And that's when everyone else is like, no, why would we invite them over? And Auntie Faye is like, no, we need to give them the opportunity to make things right, yada, yada, yada.
I still think she has too much audacity. And to show up in all those outfits and know absolutely nothing about their lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Cal Micken outfit was one of my favorites because it's like, she was like, oh, she's putting on her cow milking outfit. And it was like, what do you need to milk a cow? And she comes out and she says something. She does a pose. And it's just, I don't know. It was just funny to me. Like, that's how Raven would do it. So, yes.
I was waiting for Betty Jane to say something like, you can't milk the cow if it's scared of you. Because she was wearing a cowhide outfit. Like,
yeah. Full. Like, head to toe.
Also, another thing I appreciate about just the show as a whole is that they get real animals. Most of the times they do. So yeah, that's what I like, that they don't use like the fake. Sometimes they do, obviously, but most times it's real. So I like that.
That is true, and this is not the first time we get cows.
No. The first time is definitely the Halloween one, and I will still never forget that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't mind the episode. I didn't know why it was so popular, to be honest. I'm still not sure. I think that it was probably just Raven playing so many characters and them using that to hype it up.
I believe that's what the trailer was. It was like, you got Raven and Raven and Raven and Raven starring in this. So probably that's what it was.
Yeah. Because otherwise I just watched it and was like, all right, it's an episode.
Well, and the whole plot line is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the scarecrow thing because I literally, like, I wrote it down and then I couldn't remember what came of it. Just that there was this moment where the scarecrow was suddenly haunting them at the beginning of the second episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then it stops.
the scarecrow is like a thing of nightmares. It is so terrifying. And Betty Jane, basically to fuck with Chelsea and Raven, like pokes it through the hole, the giant hole that's in there.
There's a giant hole in their room.
Yeah. So she like pokes it through the giant hole to like mess with them and to scare them into leaving. But it's absolutely terrifying. And especially because like Raven grew up where they told her that like during full moons, the scarecrow would come to life and steal your soul. So like if you grow up with someone telling you that story and then you see the scarecrow in your room at night, like it's not okay.
No, but it's funny for somebody that they got a beef with. So I mean,
Yeah.
But why would you tell kids that?
I mean, sometimes you gotta mess with them. Sometimes, I mean, it's fun. You gotta have some fun sometimes.
Okay, but this is why, like, children like me grow up hating horror. Because it's like, you're just, like, scared shitless as a little kid, and then anything slightly scary, you're just like, no thanks. Count me out.
I mean, hey, sometimes people gotta sacrifice to have fun.
Sure.
I also really enjoyed... Oh, sorry.
No, go.
Okay. Yeah. Chelsea, like, has her moments, you know? She's the ditz of the series. She's constantly being made fun of for it. But I like when they give her her moments, and this special was one of those times, because while Raven was just, like, dressing way too nice to milk the cow, dressing down for dinner, like offending them at every opportunity, Chelsea just like fit right in and they liked her a lot more.
Mm-hmm. And I love the moments where like obviously like Chelsea being an animal activist and like being a vegetarian is like a common theme throughout the entire series of Raven, but I like the moments when they give her time with animals. Like we see it in A Goat's Tale, which was earlier this season or maybe season two. Last season, and then in this season again when she's like helping Betty Jane milk the cow before Raven comes out, it's kind of a cute moment. I like when they make Chelsea more than just like the dumb friend.
Should we talk about the B plot? Do we have other notes about the main plot?
There's a B plot? Oh, there is a B plot.
Was it that? Was it that forgettable?
No. I remember now, but I took notes mostly on the main plot. I do have a couple more notes about the main plot before we move on.
Okay.
One, the family makes a comment that the reason they can afford a home in San Francisco is because they sold this antique gravy boat. Fucking nonsense. Like, how much do they think this gravy boat was worth? There is not that much
gravy in the world.
Yeah, like, how much do they think this gravy boat was worth? Like, it was just crazy. Also, Chelsea keeps calling the bus station. And, like, can you call a bus station? Is that a thing? You can call a bus station.
Like, call the ticket office at the bus station?
Huh. Just seems weird.
I feel like you've never traveled by bus. You can't call the bus
to come pick you up.
No, but she was just reserving tickets. Seats on the bus.
Yeah. It just seems weird.
I feel like, Jess, you've never traveled by bus.
That's not true. I am very upset that you're saying this. When I lived in Scotland, I traveled by bus from Scotland to London like 20 times.
Oh, that's true. I did take that bus with you.
Yeah, because it was £2 and we were poor. So on a college student budget, £2 is your way to get to London. Also, I took the bus to school growing up. And I took the bus to high school before I could drive. I probably took more buses than you have taken. I'm gonna get in a fight.
Those are different buses, though. Like, a school bus and a charter bus are different than a public bus. And I'm only saying this because I took them all the time in Korea. And there's normal, like, yes, you can reserve a ticket ahead of time on like an app like we did with the charter buses, but there's also like ticketing offices with people who can sell you a ticket. So that's just what I thought she was calling. Why is this such a big discussion?
Because she said, I've never taken a bus and I'm taking it personally.
Because you're from California and you drive a car.
That's true. But to high school, I took the public bus, not the school bus.
Okay, we've talked too much about buses.
And there's no ticket offices.
Because that's a different kind of bus.
Oh my God. No more buses. No more buses. That's my only comments. Are we ready to move on to the side plot?
There's a moment where Cousin Vicky says lights out at 7. And when I was watching it, I was like, that sounds kind of nice. Sorry, I'm so old.
Yeah. I thought the opposite. I was like, that's fucked. Like, even if you're operating a farm and up at 4 a.m., like, no one's going to bed at 7 p.m.
It's just lights out.
You gotta wake up when the rooster do.
Yeah, but still. Okay, side plot?
Yeah. Do you have no idea what it is, Jess?
No, I do have an idea, actually. So, it's cute. I just forgot about it. Eddie and Corey are hanging out because Eddie's mom is out of town. This is the second time we see this happen, actually. But Eddie's mom's out of town, so Eddie comes over and they're hanging out. And they kind of create this, like, little brother, big brother relationship with each other. And so, Tanya and Victor...
Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Continue.
I'm just going to say before you do it, they did it before, obviously, but I think this one, I like this one better because Corey is old enough to like, to do stuff. Like before then, Corey was into like, you know, younger stuff. Now he's older and I don't know how long it's been since the first season, but he's definitely he looks older. Even if he's not, he looks older.
Yeah, and this one they play into their relationship more, too, because in the episode where Eddie stays over because his mom's, like, at a conference or something, that's the whole where Raven thinks her parents is getting a divorce. So the episode's more focused on that and not Corey and Eddie's relationship. So I like that this episode kind of...
You mean the one where Victor openly says, let's split up?
Yeah.
Out loud like
that? Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's some other moments too, or episodes where it happens where I don't know if you watched them, Jess, but like it's a fun relationship. I agree. Like it gets more fun now where like Corey's voice is cracking all the time and he's a little more mischievous. And
yeah.
Jess, have you watched Corey's in the House?
I have. Well, okay. I was going to confidently say I've not. I don't think that's true. I think that when it was coming out, I did watch a few episodes, but I didn't, like, follow it. And we haven't decided if we're going to rewatch it. We're torn.
Now, there's only one good episode, maybe two. But the episode with Raven, if y'all don't do that, y'all should at least do that as a spinoff or something.
Okay.
But that's I would say that's the only good reviewable episode. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Corey in the House feels like a fever dream. Like, yeah. The entire concept of it. It's just a lot.
And it's, you know, it has one of Amanda's favorite characters in it, too, which is Stanley. So.
Oh, my God.
Is he a consistent character?
No, he's just in an episode.
Okay.
Ugh, fucking Stanley.
Yeah, he's not my favorite either. I kind of want William back. Like, where the fuck's William?
He got dumped because he's a nerd. He didn't actually get dumped. That's just my hypothesis.
Yeah. So, back to the side plot. We're reeling it back in. Victor and Tanya are going out on a date, a double date. And so Eddie's in charge of watching Corey, and Corey wants to go out to the arcade. And so Eddie lets him go out, but is like, you have to be back in 1 hour. And Eddie's like blowing up Corey's phone and it's like, where is he? And he's like trying to get number one at a game. He's like beating the top score. And so he comes home super late to the point that Eddie has to pretend to be Corey because Tanya and Victor come home. And he like, it's like, oh yeah, Corey's asleep. And then they're like, oh, we're going to go check on Corey. And so he's like run upstairs and beat them. And he like curls up in bed.
Yeah. How does that happen?
Somehow they have like two sets of stairs and he's like flying up them. It's
Yeah, they do.
They
do have two sets. One in the kitchen and then one in the main living room.
Yeah. Fancy as hell.
Yeah. But it's not the first time we've seen them utilize both steps of stairs.
Yeah. So he's like flying up.
He's, yes, full speed. Pretending to be Corey asleep. There's this funny moment where Victor goes and gives him a kiss on the cheek, and it's pretty hilarious.
Now, okay, I just have a question. Just
yeah.
So what time do we estimate that this is?
Well, it was a dinner date,
so we could say about 10 something ish,
like maybe 9.
Yeah, somewhere maybe between 9 and 10, I think.
Somewhere between
if
9.
If he's supposed to be asleep, what is so important that you have to go in there and wake him up to say goodnight just for him to go back to sleep?
So they didn't wake him up. They were just like checking to make sure he was asleep in bed. But I agree. It seems weird. You do that with your 6-year-old, but why are you doing that with your 12-year-old?
Yeah.
And then Eddie runs back downstairs. And then what?
He eats some dessert. But basically, the parents believe it. And then it happens again where Corey wants Eddie to cover for him. And Eddie's like, no, I'm not doing that again. And so then Corey tries to sneak out through this weird, like, hexagonal-shaped window in the like living room area, but he gets stuck,
right?
And Eddie refuses to help him, and then Tanya thinks that it's like someone trying to break in, even though it wouldn't make sense because it was like his feet hanging out the window. You mean people
break into your house feet first?
Yeah. And so she like is smacking him with an umbrella until they realize it was Corey.
I think Eddie goes outside to help him out, right? Maybe.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
He does because the thumbnail is a picture from Corey's perspective looking at Eddie from the window. That's the thumbnail of the Disney Plus app. So yes.
Oh, okay. So I guess he does go out and help him. It's cute. I like the side plot. I forgot about it, but I like it.
Now, the side plot could be a main plot in any other episode other than the Country Cousins, which I thought it didn't fit because it was with the Country Cousins episode, but any other episode, that would have been the main plot. I'm just, throwing it in there.
Yeah, we needed a big side plot because I think it ran continuously the way Country Cousins did. Like, it didn't finish in the first part, It needed to be a side plot we could run with for the whole hour.
It was cute.
I like whenever Eddie's in Big Brother mode.
I also like, because is Eddie an only child? Do we know that?
I feel like y'all had this conversation on the podcast.
Did we?
I don't think it's ever confirmed or denied if he has siblings, but the fact that it's never mentioned, I assume he's an only child.
Okay.
Because, like, if he had a younger sibling, why does he always have to take care of Stanley? Why can't Stanley hang out with his sibling?
Well, because Stanley's the pesky neighbor who also has a crush on Raven.
Yeah, but Stanley is Eddie's neighbor, not Raven's neighbor.
Yes.
That's even more weird. You bring your neighbor to my house if I was Raven? That's okay.
It's because there's a reason.
Connected. I mean,
I'm just saying, if I was Raven, I would say, Eddie, you're going to have to stay home if you have him today. That's, yeah. That's all I would say.
Well, she had, what's her face? Sierra, who's only in the first two episodes of season three. Who's Raven's pesky neighbor and kept hanging out. And then Eddie was like, I have an idea. And he brings Stanley over to like be Sierra's boyfriend and like keep her busy. But then he's just into Raven instead. And then he never disappears after that. Like he shows up on his own. Mm-hmm. But still, it's Eddie's fault.
How is this 6-year-old, or however old he is, getting around San Francisco by himself?
I guess I always assumed he was like 8, but also yes.
How does
how
that
is he
make it better?
I don't know. In my, it just seems a little bit better, but yeah, it's really not.
Maybe he's telling his mom to drop him off, but then what mom isn't calling ahead of time to get like, you know, confirmation that this is okay?
Or maybe they're like walking distance.
I really like that Stanley's not in this episode, but this is the discussion now.
Yeah. Well, basically I was connecting it to, I think Eddie and Corey's relationship is so cute because Eddie is an only child. And so you kind of see him like develop that brotherly relationship with someone outside of his family, which happens like in real life. And so I just like that. It's cute.
It's similar to Gordo and Matt have that kind of relationship in a couple episodes of Lizzie.
Yeah.
Where Gordo, yeah, like, or Matt, like, adopts Gordo as his brother because he's like, Lizzie's not cool.
Yeah. It's cute. I don't have anything else to say. Except that, like, if you watch Raven growing up, you remember these episodes. Especially Country, yeah, Cousins.
Yeah. For sure.
I can't remember the plot. I can't remember the plot, but I can vividly remember what Country Cousins looks like. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, these are my first episodes in season three watching in a while. So, like, obviously the intro changes every season.
Mm-hmm.
It's my first time watching the season three intro. And I think season three was the most of my memory because all the scenes I vividly remember in the intro. And I was like, oh, wow, this just brought back a lot of stuff. So, yeah.
I think at least in our experience, there hasn't been a single episode that I have not remembered from every single season. Only one episode in which I blocked out of my memory.
We both specifically blocked out Raven interrupting Devon's dad's wife, or Devon's dad's wedding, wearing the wedding dress. Other than that, because that part made us freaking angry. Yeah, we've remembered it all. I will say, like, season three, I don't enjoy as much that it doesn't have continuous plot lines. Season two and season four do. But I remember every single episode in season three, even though there aren't continuous plot lines. And I think that's kind of a testament to how, like, much the writers still threw into each individual episode.
Yeah.
The writers and the actors. Because Raven is fully, yeah, committed at this point. I think Eddie hits his, like, peak with the comedy in season three.
The comedic timing in season three is the best we've had of any Disney show we've rewatched so far, including the first two seasons of That's So Raven. They just like
chemistry
really
gets better too with the cast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the chemistry and the comedic time, it's just so good.
That's all of our thoughts, but I just want to ask you, Prime, if there's anything else you want to talk about on Raven in general. Like, what's this show mean to you? Or why do you like it? Or what do you remember of it? I don't know.
So it's like, what, 6 questions in one?
That was 3, but...
3 questions, okay.
You don't have to answer them all, but like, if you have any other thoughts on Raven, As a whole.
I will say I really like this show. Obviously, what I liked about Raven, other than the comedy, was the her, you know, obviously dressing up in different outfits and such. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing for me because obviously I like, you know, Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy and stuff like that, and that's their shtick.
Yeah.
And so at that time, Raven was the female Martin or Eddie Murphy because she would do the same thing they would do. And I'm kind of salty that we got a movie with Martin and Raven and none of them dressed up in outfits, but that's just me. But I just, you know, everything about the show was just memories. Just bring back memories. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I guess we can talk about, at least I can, because I don't know if y'all seen the spinoff. The second spinoff was Raven's Home, obviously. It's had two spinoffs. But the second spinoff, Raven's Home, for the first few seasons, I feel like was okay because they were balancing Raven and the kids. Mm-hmm. Raven wasn't a background character, and that's all I ask for a spinoff is that you don't make the main characters into the background. So Raven is a main character, and you know, they went on too long, I feel like. But if we're doing season 5, the way that they're doing it, it could bring back some people. So, you know, I guess I just brought it all around. So I brought the whole Raven train around. So those are my thoughts because I had a lot of thoughts about Raven. So I tried to keep them short and sweet.
Yeah, I like that you watch Raven's Home. Jess hasn't seen it. No. Have you like seen most of it or just like some of it?
Okay. I'm all right. Obviously, things are bad now, but before we knew these things, Corey was my favorite character. So I watch every single Raven's Home episode hoping Corey would show up. Spoiler alert, he did not.
No.
So I was like, oh, okay. Because I thought it was going to be like a Girl Meets World situation where they have people pop in that we know.
Yeah.
Only person other than Devon was the dad. He was in one episode, so I was like, okay.
Yeah, aside from Raven and Chelsea being in the main cast.
Yeah. Aside from Raven and Chelsea, yes.
Yeah.
And did I like staying like that? No, but it would have been cool to see like characters from the original. But they moved to Chicago, so now in this season they're going back to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. It could make sense.
I know we're getting at least one more from that trailer we got for season 5. We're getting...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two, right? Two.
I think so.
The dad and Alana.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
See, this makes me like, I need to watch it.
This is what I was going to surprise you with, Jess. But
oh,
that's
I'm
fine.
Sorry.
No.
I messed up the surprise. Okay.
It's okay. I'd rather you talk about it than just her and I.
Well, yes, but yes. I think it'd be good, you know? They go back to Bayside. Alana somehow was the principal, so.
Yeah.
That feels...
I like that you watched all of the episodes just to see if Corey would show up, though.
Yes, I was disappointed every show, but the show was okay, so I'm like, okay, I can deal with it.
It's a shame, like, Corey is a really good character, and Eddie's a really good character. They've both done things. Arguably Kyle Massey, worse than Orlando Brown, but...
Yep.
Disney's parted ways with both of them. Because I think Orlando's not in the Proud Family reboot either.
Oh.
He's not in it, but his character's in it for a second.
But
literally, he does this, and that's it. He just does a peace sign, and that's all you see of him in the whole series. So, yes.
I gotta get on that.
Is it out already? It
came out on the 23rd.
I feel like I've been living under a rock.
It's because you have a life.
Yeah, it's true. It's because I do things.
All right, well, before this digresses even more, yes, thank you so much for being on our podcast, Prime.
You're welcome. It was fun, obviously, talking about Raven is cool. Any other episodes, I'm here. It's hilarious.
I think we might, if you're up for it, we might have you back for that, so Sweet Life of Hannah Montana, because that's going to be...
If you don't, I will be offended. If you don't, if you do it, I will be offended. I will be, because I...
It's good.
Yes. Go ahead and listen to the Prime Nostalgia Pod if you're listening, because it's a great show, and you guys are way less narrow than we are. Like, you cover all kinds of stuff, and I know you your newest episode is on reboots, which Jessica listened to already, and I need to listen to, because there's everything's getting rebooted all the time.
We just talked about some of our favorite reboots, and then we talked about some of the newer reboots out, and then we talked about some of our favorites, and then we made our own of what we would like to see get rebooted. So we did like three sections, and it's kind of...
It's fun.
I mean, it's nice. You know, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to create stuff.
Yeah. So, I thought it was super fun. Definitely check out Prime Nostalgia Pod. Also for us, please hit us up on Instagram and on TikTok and YouTube. We're 90s Babies Nostalgia on all platforms, but on TikTok, do the numericals, and everywhere else, spell out the word 90s. We love interacting with you, so keep the comments coming. And we will see you in the next one, where we finish off That's So Raven Season 3.
Thanks for listening.